Welcome to Allegheny Mountain Radio's holiday special. We ask listeners to submit their favorite winter poems, stories, and memories, and now it's time to share them with you. You'll also hear our production of The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry, so stay tuned and have a very Merry Christmas.
A Solstice Story. This is an adaptation of a Cherokee tale of creation. Many moons ago, the great sun created the plants and trees, and then he blessed them with the gift of green, that they might bring forth fruit and flowers. All was well for a time, but then the great one withdrew his face. The winds came down from the mountains of the north, and the gray clouds jostled above the earth. "Oh, Father, don't leave us," cried the plants. "Give us your light and your warmth," cried the trees. But day by day, the sun sank lower in the sky, and the long nights were as black as a crow's wing. And then the vines began to wither, the frost touched the grasses of the meadows, and a curtain of cloud covered the heavens. "Dear Father, we will die without you," wailed the trees and plants. "Come back, come back." "He's coming," whispered the north wind. "There's a touch of gold on the mountaintops." "He's coming," whispered the clouds. "His face has turned in the sky." The plants and trees were full of joy at the good news. Eager to greet their dear father, they decided to stay awake every night and watch for his return. Sumac, sassafras, and purple aster put forth brilliant colors to welcome the great sun. But after a night of watching, they fell asleep. The dogwoods, alders, watched for two nights, but soon their boughs grew heavy, and they, too, fell asleep. The maples and poplars whispered to each other, "We will not get into sleep." But soon, they, too, were slumbering under the cold stars like the others. When the great sun came from his wigwam on the dawn of the seventh day, the skies were clear. He looked down on the forests and the meadows below. The only plants and trees still awake to greet him were the pine, the fir, the spruce, the holly, and the laurel. "For your faithfulness, I will give you the gift of green forever," said the great sun to the plants and trees who welcomed him. "The others will drop their leaves or sleep through the winter, but you will remain awake. Your color will be a promise of my return to all who see you." And he sent a stream of light across the sweeping earth.
Here is a lovely haiku written by Alice Arbuckle, quote, "The word, fear not, angelic proclamation, hallelujah thrice." Thank you very much for that, Alice. Merry Christmas.
My Stocking of Joy by Pat Eccles Saunders. To my parents, Daryl and Elizabeth Eccles, and my husband, Robert, for all their love and support. 2 days before Christmas, I needed some more decorations from up in the attic. My curious 4-year-old son, Patrick, asked if he could go with me since it was a fun place to find old treasures. These boxes were labeled and I quickly found what I was looking for. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I happened to notice a dusty box that had fallen behind an old trunk. I picked up the box and opened it. "What's in the box?" Patrick asked, peering over my shoulder. "Oh, it's just some things I saved from when I was a little girl," I replied. The box was filled with old birthday cards and ribbons from long-forgotten contests. It held a toy house I had got in third grade, and a few photos of school friends. I was about to put the top back on when I noticed something red and white near the bottom. "Wow, how did you get in there?" I whispered to myself. I pulled out an old, crumpled piece of fabric. Patrick asked, "Did you find something valuable?" "Yes," I replied as tears filled my eyes. "It's my stocking of joy." "What's so special about it?" he asked. "This stocking might look old and empty now," I said, running my fingers over the frayed edges, "but it brings back so many memories. It was a big tradition at the time. Families came from miles around to get one, but it wasn't about the stuff that was in it. It was because it filled everyone with Christmas joy." "How can a stocking be filled with joy?" Patrick asked. "Let me see where to begin," I started. "Well, I remember when I was about 5 years old, it was just before dawn, and I was already awake. My room was dark, but soon I could see a small sliver of light shining under my door. Mom was in the kitchen cooking breakfast. We lived on a farm and had to get up very early in the morning. I heard Mom's footsteps come down the hall toward my room. Opening my door, she poked her head in and said, "It's time to get up." I grumbled at first, but then I remembered, today is Christmas Eve. It's stocking day. Quickly, I bounced out of bed and got dressed. "Mom, when do we go get our stockings?" I yelled from my bedroom. "First, you have to go up to the barn and give the cows their breakfast. Then we will see about going this afternoon," she replied. I slid on my boots, put on my coat and my scarf, and grabbed my mittens. I had to run to catch up with my older sisters who were already out the door. The frozen snow was crunchy and slippery. We walked up the hill and went through the gate on our way to the red barn. The sky was dark gray, and I could see my breath in the air. "Santa is going to have a cold night tonight," said my sister Phoebe. Inside the barn, the cows came up to the manger to get their breakfast. I was too little to lift the buckets of feed and bales of hay, so my sisters did most of the heavy work. A mama cat and kittens watched while we did our chores. "Hey, since it's the day before Christmas, we should give the cows extra straw to keep them warm tonight," my sister Andy suggested. We all agreed. We scattered the straw and shook it all around the pen. "It feels so warm and snuggly in here," I said, watching the cows kick about on their fluffy new bedding. Then it occurred to me, "Hey, we should give them extra hay to eat too." We gathered extra hay and laid it out. The cows were happy and so was I. Today, we were going to get our stockings. As we walked out the barn door, I noticed small snowflakes had started to fall. "You know, if it snows too much, we won't be able to get our stockings," Andy teased as she shut the barn gate. I began to worry. I raised my chin and shouted up to the sky, "Snow, snow, go away! I want my stocking today!" "I don't think you can shout away the snow. You are a silly girl," laughed Phoebe. "Come on, our breakfast will be ready." Inside the house, a pile of hats, gloves, and scarves filled the floor. The fire warmed my cold fingers and toes. Mom had placed warm bowls of oatmeal on the table ready for us to eat. "Do you think the stocking giveaway will be canceled?" I worriedly asked Mom. She smiled and said, "The weatherman said it isn't supposed to snow much. Now eat up and let me get some things done so we can go to town this afternoon." The morning seemed endless. The hands on the clock crept. Tick, tock, tick, tock. I had to find something to do. I tried to clean my room. I looked at books. I played with toys. Finally, I said, "I'm too excited to think about anything but stockings." "Why don't you go outside and play in the snow with Andy?" suggested Mom. "I will call you in when it's time to go to town." The old snow was frozen solid, perfect for going down the hill on our sleds. The track was icy and fast. The climb back to the top was slippery and slow. "How many more times are we going to do this?" I asked Andy. "Just a few more. Don't worry, we will leave soon enough to get those stockings," she assured me. "Waiting is so hard at Christmas," I grumbled. Just then, we heard Mom calling that it was time to go. We picked up our sleds and ran to the house. "Dress warm. Remember, you have to wait in line a long time," Mom warned. "Wear your coats, hats, gloves, and a scarf." We all climbed into our car and started over the curvy roads. I knew we were almost there when we crossed over a bridge spanning a wide, icy river. Driving through town, we carefully passed crowds of people walking beside the road. Suddenly, we could hear music from somewhere nearby. "Wow, look at all the people," I whispered. "I guess they are all here to get their stockings too," said my brother Steve. "Or to see the parade," said Phoebe. We parked our car and got out to watch. Tractors and large trucks covered with tinsel pulled wagons full of people singing Christmas songs. A school band playing Joy to the World marched by, followed by snow queens wearing sparkling crowns and fancy gowns. Finally, a fire truck appeared with Santa Claus riding in the back. He smiled and waved to all the children along the way. "Mom, there's Santa," I shouted. "But how can he be here when he has to be delivering toys soon?" I asked. "Santa has special magic he uses to be in more than one place at a time. Right now, the elves are loading his sleigh for him, so it will be ready to take off when he gets home after the parade," explained Mom. I watched Santa drive out of sight, imagining what it was going to be like when he came to our house tonight. Suddenly, Steve yelled, "Hey guys, that's the end of the parade. It's time to get in line." "Stocking time," I screamed excitedly. I grabbed Steve's hand and we walked with all of the other children toward the train tracks leading to the station. Forming a line, we anxiously waited for Santa to come and start handing out stockings. Playful kids tried to balance on the rails, teetering and falling over and over again. "Watch out," someone yelled as a snowball whizzed past our heads. "Listen to my boots crunching," I said, marching on the frozen snow around us. "Ice pockets make really big pops." Aggravated, Steve asked me in frustration, "Can't you stand still?" "Lift me up and put me on your shoulders," I begged him. "Can you see anything? Is the line moving?" "Calm down," he fussed. "The line will move soon enough. You just have to wait like the rest of us." Looking all the way down to the other end of the line, we saw the glow of lights from the big truck. Then finally, the line began to slowly move. Kids started to giggle and cheer. As we walked beside the rails, the train station got closer. I saw a group of men on the back of a large truck filled with big boxes. Each box held hundreds of stockings. I could see Santa clearly now. He was standing near the back of the truck and was saying Merry Christmas to everyone as they passed by. On the other side of the train station, I could see Mrs. Claus next to the red caboose. She was handing out candy canes to those who wanted to sit on Santa's lap. "There's Daddy!" I shouted. He was standing with a group of men near the big truck. He was helping Santa. I waved to him and jumped up and down so he would see us. "We made it!" I hollered. Daddy noticed me and gave a quick wave, but he was busy working. He was lifting stockings out of the box to give to children. Finally, we reached the back of the truck. "Here you go, young lady," a man with a big grin said as he handed me a stocking. "Thank you," I replied, reaching up high to grab it. "It's almost as big as you are," said Steve. "Wait till we get home to see what you got," said Andy. "You might spill it." Carefully, I pulled my red stocking up and looked into it. I saw it was filled from top to bottom with candy, toys, and fruit. I hugged my stocking tight as we walked back to the car. "Wow, that is some stocking," Mom said as she helped me climb into the back seat. It was cold in the car, and snow began to fall, but I didn't care. Looking into my stocking filled me with such happiness. It was my stocking of joy. After listening to my story, my son Patrick sat silent for a few minutes. Then he looked at me wide-eyed and said, "You know, Mom, I have a great idea. Let's take your stocking downstairs and hang it with our other stockings, so we can all share the joy of Christmas." I looked at him and smiled. I realized he understood how important it is for everyone to have this feeling of joy at Christmas. Or even better, can we leave the stocking hanging for the whole year so we will have joy all year long? He asked excitedly. That sounds perfect, I agreed as we started to walk down the attic stairs. Hey everyone, Patrick shouted, we found Christmas joy! In 1926, a giveaway for children began on Christmas Eve in Roncevert, West Virginia, with small paper bags filled with candy and an apple. Some years later, the bags were replaced with stockings filled with Cracker Jacks, apples, oranges, popcorn balls, toys, and candy. Snow Queens were nominated and crowned from local high school students. A penny was given for each vote for the Snow Queen contestants. Donations from this competition, offered in combination with contributions from community organizations, helped fund stockings for more than 1,000 children a year. An afternoon of musical performances and a Christmas parade were included. Santa and Mrs. Claus appeared at the end of the parade, usually by riding a fire truck. Afterward, the children lined up near the C&O Railroad Station to receive their stockings. Parents enjoyed hot chocolate and coffee provided by the local fire department. This event was held from 1926 to 2006. It is a fond memory for me and my siblings. It became our annual tradition and always brought joy to me. I hope this story helps you remember Christmas traditions you have with you and your family. Merry Christmas! Pat Eccles Saunders.
Excerpt from Little Gidding by T.S. Eliot. Midwinter spring is its own season, sempiternal, though sodden towards sundown, suspended in time between pole and tropic. When the short day is brightest with frost and fire, the brief sun flames the ice on pond and ditches in windless cold that is the heart's heat, reflecting in a watery mirror, a glare that is blindness in the early afternoon, and glow more intense than blaze of branch or brazier, stirs the dumb spirit, no wind but Pentecostal fire in the dark time of the year. Between melting and freezing, the soul's sap quivers. There is no earth smell or smell of living thing. This is the springtime, but not in time's covenant. Now the hedgerow is blanched for an hour with transitory blossom of snow, a bloom more sudden than that of summer, neither budding nor fading, not in the scheme of generation. Where is the summer? The unimaginable zero summer?
Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening by Robert Frost. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near. Between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep.
The Man and the Birds, a story by Paul Harvey. The man to whom I'm going to introduce you was not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, mostly good man. Generous to his family, upright in his dealings with other men. But he just didn't believe all that incarnation stuff which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. "I'm truly sorry to distress you," he told his wife, "but I'm not going with you to church this Christmas Eve." He said he'd feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather just stay at home, but that he would wait up for them. And so he stayed, and they went to the midnight service. Shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier, and then went back to his fireside chair and began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, then another, and then another, sort of a thump or a thud. At first, he thought someone must be throwing snowballs against his living room window. But when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They'd been caught in the storm and, in a desperate search for shelter, had tried to fly through his large landscape window. Well, he couldn't let the poor creatures lie there and freeze, so he remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter if he could direct the birds to it. Quickly, he put on a coat, galoshes, tramped through the deepening snow to the barn. He opened the doors wide and turned on a light, but the birds did not come in. He figured food would entice them in, so he hurried back to the house, fetched breadcrumbs, sprinkled them on the snow, made a trail to the yellow-lighted, wide-open doorway of the stable. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs and continued to flap around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around them, waving his arms. Instead, they scattered in every direction except into the warm, lighted barn. and then he realized that they were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, I am a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, that I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how? Because any move he made tended to frighten them, confuse them. They would just not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. If only I could be a bird, he thought to himself, and mingle with them and speak their language. Then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to the safe warm barn. But I would have to be one of them, so they could see and hear and understand. At that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind. And he stood there listening to the bells pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And he sank to his knees in the snow.